Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Keyshawn, talking to the damn mic.
I'm not.
It's like next to his face. How can he not talk into the mic?
Right.
Turn your headphones up.
Turn my headphones. All right, now I'm ready to drop it. Ready? Yo, turn my headphones up. Y'all motherfuckers. No, I said drop it.
Yo, Dookie.
Devo! Turn my headphones up. So seriously, nobody can hear me now?
I can hear you.
We can now hear
you. Can always be louder.
I can always be louder? Seriously?
Yes, you should use that as a hashtag on everything that you write. Emails.
Just put on your business card.
Yeah.
Just I can always be louder, comma, seriously.
I can hear you okay, but you're definitely the lowest voice on the feed.
God damn it.
Just speak.
Speak friend and enter.
Yeah, that. So, nice.
How's that? Any better?
I can hear you raising the volume on your microphone.
It sounds like you're milking a mouse or something.
I'm milking it hard.
Yeah, that's...
Do it slow.
Do it slow. Sexy.
Good. So good reference. Good reference.
We both went there. I'm really proud of you, Rio.
So this reminds me. I need to tell you guys this. Do you guys listen to Nerdist podcast at all?
I don't.
I have
that person.
So they had Patrick Stewart on last week, and Patrick Stewart's freaking hilarious. And he talks about how originally Gene Roddenberry had asked him to try to play Jean-Luc Picard with a French accent. And he recorded the voiceover at the beginning of the show with a French accent, and so he does a little bit of it at the end of the podcast.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
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 Enterprise. And then he goes, Mr.
Ongoing mission.
Engagé.
Oh, God.
It's hilarious. I recommend checking it out.
I feel like you told me the best part already, though.
Yeah, but you actually hear him say it. Like it's
all right. That's a good point. And now Keyshawn is upside down. I don't know why. There we go. Much better.
So before I rudely interrupted your podcast, what were y'all talking about?
You.
Nothing.
Shit.
Just getting stuff set.
Mic check. Checking the mic.
Sibilance.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, America, president nominee, these nuts. Welcome to Full of Sound and Fury podcast.
He's trending, these nuts.
Oh, yeah. Gonna be huge.
Nice.
It's my privilege to serve as something of a host tonight for this evening. My name is Cyrus Mornazavi. I reside in Kirkland, Washington, and I've got a full complement of awesome people online. From the north side of the ATX, with a wig for his wig and a brain for his heart, my friend and yours, Ariel Rodriguez.
Hello.
From the south side of Austin, Texas, the scary wooded part, he saves children, but not the British children. Keyshawn Xavier.
No one heard it.
Oh, I heard it.
I almost heard it.
What's up?
There we go.
Right. Now we're good. Good.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
The mic is in the mouth.
Why don't you have a mouth-based cannula for your microphone?
Now I'll be funny.
Champing at the bit to be in the podcast.
Wow. Is that Yeah, he's got an oxygen mask for
he's got a cannula for his mouth.
That's
a microphone.
Yeah. Can you hear me better?
Actually, we can.
Your voice sounds a little nasal now. Sorry.
Last but certainly not least, formerly of New York, New York, currently of Iowa, soon to be of California, with two sets of testicles, so divine, three on one.
Wow. Hey, how's it going?
He's got three on the vine.
Yeah. If you take off my socks, you can see the extra testicle. I don't remember how that goes. What's up? That's all I got to say.
Neely.
Nice. So what's on the docket for this week in cool court?
I like it. I went back to Prime last weekend. We can talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
We should talk about that. I have some stories, actually.
Cool.
And I know Keyshawn has got our Longhorn update. Oh,
Jesus, yes.
Carefully ready to deliver unto us.
Hey, I can tell you cheerfully
about Friday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's true. I saw the little rolling ball droid toy, whatever his name is, take over the internet. Oh, wait, hold on. This is apropos nothing, but have, like, those ducks that, like, make that squeaking sound take it over your vine, take it over your world? So this is old, apparently. But, like, I came, you know, I had been off the internet for, whatever, 2 days driving, and I log in, and my Twitter feed is just crammed full with, but the one that I ended up retweeting is freaking hilarious, where the dude like makes the entire basket of these ducks squeak all at once, and it just sounds like a bunch of men screaming in terror. It's awesome. If you haven't seen it, I don't even know what to say. Go find it. It's on my Twitter feed.
It's great.
At Quantum, spelled badly.
What would we search for?
Like I said, you can find it. I retweeted it, but let me see if I can.
Holy shit, I just watched it.
I don't give a duck.
Holy
see? Fuck. See? Y'all see how amazing that is? You have to watch it. It's fantastic.
That's like, it's almost like a bagpipe graveyard. It's like, it's so yes. Terrible. That's nightmare fuel right there, man.
You might be able to find.
There it is.
So awesome! Oh my god! Search for shit. I don't know. Maybe Duck Army Charlie Murphy. I bet you that finds it. Yes.
Yeah.
Charlie Murphy, Duck Army.
On there? What the fuck?
No, it's a guy whose vine handle is Charlie Murphy. He is putting his feet on your ducks.
That's even better.
It does make it better. It's fantastic.
Is there a possibility it's actually Charlie Murphy?
I don't know. I hope so.
That was wow.
Charlie Murphy, it's true. Hollywood duck stories.
Have you guys seen the weird atheist guy or Satanist guy rather?
Oh yeah,
Riyadh has. Riyadh has for sure. But
oh yeah, you know that guy's like a thing, right? He's actually on the Nerdist podcast.
Oh really? He is.
Well, he's on the staff. I'm not sure if he's on the podcast.
Oh, I didn't
that's
know that.
Funny. Yeah, apparently he's got somebody. Pointed out that there's some other video of him at like San Diego Comic Con or something pulling kind of the same shit.
Yeah, he was at E3 one time doing the same.
He's just a full on goon.
Yeah,
he's a freaking genius. Have you seen the one with him where the girl wakes up after a one night stand and he's like lying in bed next to her and it's like the day after Halloween and he's wearing a Dr. Frankenfurter outfit?
No.
Oh, it's just as good. It is brilliant. You need to find it.
Okay.
I don't know what you search for. I've given you all the tools I can.
Well,
it's a great one.
So anyway,
so I search for
you're
Charlie
in God's
Murphy.
Hands now.
Right. No, Satan's hands, please.
So, Cyrus, PAX Prime, huh?
PAX Prime. Yeah. Gotta say, a lot easier when it's a local show. It's nice to sleep in your own house. No, they've come a long way since just 2 years ago when we were here last, Ariel.
Okay.
They have basically just taken over downtown Seattle.
Wow.
I think there's five hotels that it's now in.
Whoa.
The Q Hall is now part of an expo hall, which helps with spacing as well.
Huh. Right on.
Yeah.
So it's even bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah. And yet it feels less crowded than it has as of late. They've done a really good job with it.
Cool.
Well, but I heard that you're still waiting in a lot of lines if indeed you want to see stuff.
Have to play Halo 5, like you just need it.
Because you can't wait 3 months.
Most of the panels are very short lines, if at all. A notable exception would be the D&D Acquisitions Incorporated Live panel. That you got to get there about two hours, maybe 90 minutes to make sure you get in. So they still pack out Ben Roy Hall with that. But the Q&As, no big deal. No problem there. Most of the panels are okay.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So that means that they're in – are they still in the convention center and they've just spread out from there with sort of satellite things? That's the idea?
Yes.
So the main theater is still that same one that we always used to go to?
It's down the street at 3rd and Union at Benaroya Hall. It's actually like it's an opera house.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what they did a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Question number two. Is this the first PAX Prime at which Seattle had legal weed, and did you notice that making a difference?
I do not believe it's the first one. I think that was 2013. And no, I did not notice a difference.
Interesting.
I don't know what that says to us.
It's a lot of nerds. It's not like it's a weed convention. But
I was just wondering if it's...
Which Seattle does have, by the way.
A weed convention?
Oh, yes. Sure. Boston has a weed convention.
Hempfest is the official title.
Hempfest. That's pretty good.
Yes.
That's pretty good marketing. I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure they've had that forever.
It does not smell good that weekend.
It wouldn't be like Weedered World? Is that the lame one?
I don't know. No, it's Hempfest. I don't know. But yeah, it's a thing. Let me try and reconstruct this. Off the top, I didn't go Saturday. I didn't have a badge. I could have gotten one. I just didn't want to spend that much for just a Saturday on what was going to be the busiest day. So I actually just took care of some stuff around the place and watched some of the panels that I wanted to watch from streaming.
Cool.
And pretty happy I did that.
Take care of something.
Friday. What the hell did I do Friday? I bought the new pin set. Because that's kind of my thing. I do the every convention I go to, I get that convention specific pin as a keepsake. I attended the keynote story time is what they call it now, which is just dumb as hell. Kim Swift, Portal fame, gave the address, and she actually broke down the logistics of making a game. From, you know, this person does this, they get paid this much and that. It's actually really interesting. The Q&A didn't sound like it was going to be that awesome from the description, but it was actually, I found it informative as someone who's, you know, trying to make inroads into that. So I was super glad I went.
Cool.
Yeah. And oh boy, is it expensive.
Yeah,
she ended it with, but she broke down how much it cost to make like one League of Legends character from start to finish.
Wow.
Yeah. $80,000.
Damn. Did you That's say crazy. How much they make off of that character?
No.
I'm assuming it's a whole lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotta be. At least for League, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of League of Legends, that's something I did want to bring up. So they have, you know, they have like their tournament things there, and they... A league had a big one. It had like its own stage and shit. And I'm watching the crowd, and I swear to, and they are just appreciating it on a level that I reserve for the NFL or the NBA.
Like, yeah, it's all about that esports, man.
No, it absolutely is a thing, and I'm just like, e-sports. Wow, the nerds are the jocks, because I mean they're like, no, that person's screwed up. You're supposed to do the attack then, and I'm like, and you know they're wringing their hands and tearing at their hair, and I'm just like, oh my god.
Friend of mine attended the not League of Legends, the Dota,
the International TI5.
Yeah, there was a I think the final was in it was at Madison Square Garden a few weeks ago, and a buddy of mine went. He and like 4 or 5 of his friends went to this thing. He said it was awesome.
They put it on ESPN.
That's probably the best piece of sports to have happened in Madison Square Garden recently. Well, no, that's a lie. The Rangers are good, but God, the Knicks are horrible. So,
yeah, they put that on ESPN, like the International, the Dota 2 tournament. They have statements of that on regular-ass ESPN, not ESPN2, regular ESPN.
I would totally believe it. That level of devotion to see it live was really something else. It was just like, yeah. And to me, the uninitiated, it was just chaos. I couldn't tell what the fuck was going on.
Yeah. No, I watch those things and I'm like, I don't.
I had like an idea. Like, I think this guy is a character. I think that's an NPC. I guess he kills that. And then they try to kill each other. And I have to figure it would be like me putting them down in front of like a basketball game trying to explain a pick and roll.
Probably.
So they're like, what the fuck am I looking at? I don't know what this is. No, just run up and down.
Makes me feel older.
So one thing I thought was interesting is Valve is developing, since they have their own VR headset called the Vive that they make with HTC. They're developing like a VR view of the matches as they're happening, so you can actually like put your goggles on and be a spectator, but you can kind of move around the entire map almost as if you were a giant, kind of roaming it.
That's pretty awesome.
That's kind of a neat thing.
So, like, how does the VR headset, like, since you're flying through this crazy environment or whatever, come with some sort of like vomit bag built into it, or?
Not that I've seen, but maybe that's a separate attachment that they can sell for a low, low price.
Ariel, can I follow up on what you just said? I got a question for you.
Sure.
You called it the Vive. Is that the official title?
That is the official pronunciation of the HTVIVE, the Vive.
That was a point of conjecture all weekend long at PAX.
Yeah, the Giant Bomb guys got a demo from HTC themselves and Valve, so I think it's the Vive.
Jerry Hawkins was running with Vive.
I'm pretty sure it's Vive.
But I'm pretty sure it was wrong. No, I believe you. I'm really glad you cleared that up.
So is that the same tool that Gabe was using to draw in three dimensions?
No.
Oh, I didn't know he was doing that.
That is some other toy that I do not recall the name of, but he said that was pretty awesome.
Now, how are the noses that he draws in three dimensions?
Thank God he did the fruit fucker, and the fruit fucker has no nose.
I see. So we don't know yet is the answer.
Right. Probably badly.
How dare you, sir?
I think it would be interesting because of that device, he does change it. Because in 3 minutes, he's like, oh, this looks weird. I can't do that.
Who knows? Maybe, yeah.
That'd be kind of funny. But, yeah. So I played. Anyway, so I went to the D&D hotel. They have a tabletop hotel now.
Wow.
Yes.
Wait.
And it's awesome.
It's not an inn. I'm sorry. What?
So Wizards
do there?
No, but they give away Monster on the Street from the nice lady in the truck.
Nice.
And only at PAX does that make sense and not sound like something weird.
Yeah. So wait. So tell us more about this D&D hotel. So what?
Well, Wizards of the Coast totally represents this show, right? They're local. So the annex is just Magic, the Gathering, like 3 levels of it.
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow. And with Magic, like taking up 3 floors of the annex, they now have a hotel for tabletop, which is to say, one of those floors is just all Dungeons & Dragons.
Man.
That's awesome. So did they actually run games this time? Did Wizards run games?
They have washed their hands of it, and I think it's better for it. There is a fan group that they basically outsource to. And
does that mean that they're giving up on D&D?
No, they're giving up on running tabletop tournaments.
but they don't have to be tournaments. They were introducing so many people to that game. Like, when I used to DM for them at PAX, we would be busy constantly, and there were always people having to be turned away.
And that's still the case. It's just WotC is no longer running the games. They're just providing the information to this third party.
That's interesting. Huh.
Yeah.
I think they're still running them at minor cons. Like, there was Kineticon, I saw something about, like, you know, I'm on the mailing list for when they look for DMs. And so they were saying, yeah, Kineticon, we're going to need some DMs, and probably Gen Con. Definitely Gen Con, they wanted DMs and stuff like this. But I'm curious why the hell they went away from that, considering, like, they have the Acquisitions Incorporated, they have all this stuff. Like, it was for a while, it seemed like D&D was, like, deeply tied into the fabric of PAX. Well, certainly it was for me. And now it seems like it's just gone, just disappeared. It's crazy.
No, I have to tell you that the only thing that filled up all weekend was Acquisition Incorporated.
Wow.
And the Adventurers League is what they call themselves, the guys running the games for on behalf of WotC with stuff WotC had provided them with, was full.
Interesting. So, I wonder if somebody will step up at all of the cons and do something similar.
Yeah. I mean, I try not to bust Wizards ball about this too much because it is difficult to run those things, but it ran a lot better, and because Wizards of the Coast just wasn't very good at that for whatever reason, and it was super helpful. And part of that was probably having just a dedicated hotel.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was great. People would run downstairs to the bar, grab a beer, come play D&D.
That's pretty sweet. Have you played 5? Has anyone on the podcast played 5?
Yeah, you played 5.
Well, I've played 5, but I was wondering if anyone else had.
Yeah, I loved it.
That's yeah, keep playing with us at PAX South.
Oh, but that was still pre... Wasn't that still pre-5? Or was that real 5?
That was the first module.
That's right.
And that was
okay.
A case where WotC did not show up. We played D&D because we brought it with us.
It's true.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so I think 5 is, like, really well constructed. And they fixed a lot of – well, first of all, they threw away 4, which was a big step. My personal feeling was that 4 was too geared toward being like a computer game. It felt like you were pushing buttons a lot. You know, you just same attack every round. And all these, like, sort of, you know, at-will powers that didn't really feel – like it felt like reskinning the same power – even going from one class to another. Now, there were some things about 4 that were great. It was great to introduce people to the game and all this. But somehow, like, my personal feeling was that 3 was, for me, a better game. And 5 goes back to that in a lot of ways.
Was a calculated attempt by Wizards of the Coast, whether they want to admit this or not, to recapture a generation of gamers they lost to World of Warcraft.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. It felt a lot like World of Warcraft, but on a tabletop. And I agree 100% with you. I think that they were going after that audience.
Yeah.
I think the problem is it's not clear that those people want to get away from the computer. Like, the computer gives you the ability to talk with your friends as you're playing because everyone is using a chat server. And, you know, there's just so much content in World of Warcraft and so much raiding and high-level crap and just, I mean... you can play it any time, right? People are playing this thing 24 hours a day, whereas, like, yeah, if you're playing D&D 4, maybe you get your friends together once a week.
There's no looking for group problem.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if they – I mean, it almost feels like what they really should have done is push the rule set for 4 into their own kind of online thing, but that's a massive outlay that it's not clear they're willing to make. But 5 returns to, in my opinion, the roots in 3, which 3 was sort of 3-5 really was sort of the ultimate edition of it for me until 5 came out, and now I think 5 is better in a lot of ways. It still has exactly the same problem as 3, where Wizards just become too good late in the game. But whatever, that's you don't. I think you lose the feel of the world if Wizards don't become ridiculous. But the other archetype or other classes are awesome.
I would suggest that if Wizards didn't become the most powerful thing at some point, you did the game wrong.
Yeah, exactly. They did kind of nerf Fireball even in 5, but that's fair given that the entire game was balanced around Fireball in 3-5, and so like that ends up being something like if you're a wizard and you don't take Fireball, you basically have fucked your character. Not really, like not everyone has to min-max, but somehow like if the spell is broken so badly that they have to balance the class around it, and you don't take it, then you're definitely playing with an arm tied behind your back, which is totally cool as long as you know that that's true. Like, if you're a noob and you're getting into it, and you're like, Fireball, that doesn't seem very good, or for whatever reason, right, it's not your flavor or something like this, you're really hamstringing yourself just because you're slightly ignorant. Like, you'd rather have a system that's well enough designed that you could somehow choose all... I mean, ideally, you'd be able to choose at random or whatever flavor you felt like, and you'd be able to play a reasonably powerful character or, you know, a reasonably well-built character. But
Magic is just by its very nature potentially game-breaking. And it's always just interesting to see these different game systems try to work around that.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, the way that Magic the Gathering handles it is really interesting. Like, in high-level Magic the Gathering play... Basically, the game is using the right cards to effectively break the rules, right? Because, like, I mean, obviously, Magic is all magic, but in some sense, there's... I mean, that's tautology, but you know what I mean. There are some cards that are sort of quasi-normal, like just, you know, summon this creature, and then there are cards that actually change the rules of the game while they're in play in some really important way. And it turns out that, like, at high-level tournaments... Mostly the latter is the kind of play that you see. So people are sort of tweaking the rules this way and that, and you know that it's kind of interesting that the game that they've managed to balance the game despite that. And I think we've talked about this in the past, but I think the way that they've been so successful in keeping the game balanced is for all of the important tournament formats, they only allow the latest 2 or 3 sets of cards, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So when they're building these sets, they don't have to worry about the fact that, you know, there might be this card from 15 years ago that if you combo it with this new card that we just built, oops, it breaks things in a terrible way. So they basically get rid of that weird, you know, total backwards compatibility thing, at least for the important tournament format. So.
Magic and, to a lesser extent, World of Warcraft's these runs they've had of popularity in pop culture are pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, World of Warcraft is still pulling in money, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I believe League of Legends is now the game.
It's that and Dota 2.
Those are competitive. But for people who are, I mean, it's strange to say this, but like if you're not in esports and you want something that's not, I mean, there's a sense in which things like World of Warcraft are, I don't want to say they're casual gaming because they're absolutely not, but there's something where it's like, well, there's not really something competitive going on in World of Warcraft. It's this like, more like this immersive thing, I think.
Yeah, you can turn your brain off. I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, so speaking of games, I don't know if you guys have looked at any of the... Apparently Mad Max, the video game, is, like, totally good.
That's what I hear. This I hear it's gorgeous fired. As well.
It was one of the big draws of PAX, for sure.
That's so cool that, you know, they managed to make a good video game for that.
What's it on?
Everything. Console, Xbox One, yeah. PS4, PC.
Your mind.
Yeah, I think the... everyone I know is playing the PC version, but mostly the people I know who are gamers are PC gamers.
Dude.
They had 4 or 5 Mad Max cars driving around downtown Seattle all weekend.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Dude, Riyadh, any opinions on Metal Gear Solid 5?
I've watched some of the gameplay. It looks crazy. But in a good way, like, you have, like, the partners now, and I guess...
The Fulton?
Did you have those
people
in 4? Did you have, was Quiet in 4, for example? Was she in there?
I don't think Quiet was in 4. I think she's in
So, you have partners now, and, like, one of them, Quiet, is a sniper, and then there's, like, a dude who's, like, a hand-to-hand combat specialist, and so you pick, what your gear is going to be like on this mission, and then you go play the mission. And it seems like they've evolved the format or the gameplay in an interesting way, and still it remains, you know, crazy Metal Gear.
Yeah, it's insanity. Like it's very much – it's much more open world from what I hear. And you can Fulton things, so you can do the balloon and the airplane takes it away. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's so awesome.
Oh, is that the verb for that, Fulton?
Yeah, it's named after a guy. It's the skyhook thing from like the Dark Knight. Remember when the Dark Knight goes in the movie when Batman goes to
and the end of Thunderball.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So you can Fulton literally anything and add it to your like collection. So like I saw a video the other day of a dude Fultoning a bear. He just crawls up to a bear and Fultons it, and the balloon pops his bear up. He starts floating by a leg, and then the plane catches it and takes it away.
That's so
I just
awesome.
Love this as a word.
Yeah, it's a thing. And you can get like a helicopter, and you can, at least on PC, you can customize the song that it plays as the helicopter approaches on your enemies. So people like put all kinds of weird shit in there. It's pretty funny.
Is Ride of the Valkyries default, or do you have to like find that?
I think it's not the default, from what I understand. I thought this
was... Oh, poor choice.
Yeah, it's Metal Gear. It's insane.
That's so awesome. This is the last one, right?
Yeah, at least the last Kojima one.
I missed that game terribly.
He's fine.
Can he start making movies now?
Yeah, that would be cool. Somebody's got to pick him up, make him do crazy shit somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you guys seen Fassbender in his Assassin's Creed gear?
I have. That should be interesting.
So excited for that movie! I hope it's going to be the Blade. It's going to do for video game movies what Blade did for comic book movies. That's my hope.
Send Michael Fassbender to prison for tax evasion.
That means Ryan Reynolds is going to show up in the third installment, right?
Nice.
Yeah, Keyshawn didn't seem too excited about it either, but I don't know. I think it was pretty cool.
I was waiting for my moment because I nearly just leapt in and said, that shit's real, because I didn't know that was real.
I saw
the picture and thought, that's awesome.
He is both starring and producing.
So I get to play the part of the guy going, oh, Bo, hell yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it seems like it should make a great film. So hopefully they don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
But I mean, I felt the same about Tomb Raider, and they sure did fuck that up twice.
Haven't they fucked that up more than twice? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's only been twice.
It's only two movies, I think.
Yeah. Mm.
Hell, the last.
They also don't forget Wing Commander. Wing Commander's so bad it like makes other like it makes future video game movies bad by association.
I forgot Wing Commander was a thing.
When I was 12.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the film.
But that means you can do it, right? Just they didn't.
Yeah. No. Listen, there's a ton of video game plots that should make great films. They just they haven't executed on it yet.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why not?
What is the best extant video game film?
Oh wow.
Wait a minute. What's that mean? Extant.
What?
Existence.
In existence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Real. Real Son.
Man, I mean,
you just killed the podcast, Rion.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
It is a great question. Were there any land?
I mean, extremely ironically, I would say Super Mario Brothers, but
it unfortunately has to be in the conversation.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Christopher Lambert as Raiden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's Prince of Persia. Prince of Persia was probably the best looking one. Doom.
Oh, Jesus.
With The Rock.
Didn't we go see Doom in the theater, and wasn't it fucking awful?
I have no recollection of what you're speaking of.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I saw Mortal Kombat 2 with Keyshawn back when we first met.
Wait. Battleship isn't a video game, though, so it doesn't count.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
It's a tabletop game. If we're talking tabletop game movies, the best one is obviously Clue.
Oh yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph. I sure wish that that was a game first.
Yeah, I hear that's really good. I haven't seen it, but everybody raves about it.
Does the last Starfighter count?
No.
Took a shot.
I agree on the tabletop game. Clue's gotta take it.
Oh God, yes.
I watch
that shit right now.
I think Prince of Persia probably takes the best looking video game based movie, although the plot was meh.
Didn't they make a Hitman video game movie?
They made two Hitman games.
Hitman.
And were they both bad?
I saw the first one. It was bad. The second one came out this year. I actually haven't seen it.
I can't say best movie.
Oh,
best
gentlemen.
Actor would be
gentlemen.
Julia.
There's like five Resident Evil films.
Oh, that's true.
Isn't that the correct answer?
Barbecue sauce dogs. Barbecue sauce dogs, baby. That's right.
Yeah, that's probably the best one right now. I'm going to go home and leave.
Yeah. Yeah. How could we forget that? Of course.
You know what? I think they were talking on 28 Plays Later, which is the
Chris Straub video game.
I think they were talking about how somebody ought to make. I don't think they were talking about somebody actually starting to make. Although that would be awesome, a Dead Space movie.
Oh wow, that'd be awesome.
That would be great, right? Like you could take it's like Event Horizon, but you know, scarier.
Yeah. Yeah, and that game, the sound design on that game, that series of games. It's just, oh, man, creepy as balls. Yeah, that would
BioShock. BioShock could make a good movie, I bet.
Absolutely. Metal Gear Solid, the aforementioned one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would totally watch movie. That. Well, Metal Gear Solid 4 has a feature film inside of it. There's that 70-minute cutscene.
You can watch all that on YouTube. You just search for Metal Gear Solid the movie. You can watch all the cutscenes from every game.
That's so awesome.
Grand Theft Auto the movie.
What did you say, Keith?
Yeah, but
Grand Theft Auto the movie.
Oh, GTA, yeah.
But what would that be?
I put it back in my mouth again.
There you go.
What would that be? Would that just be a crime film that just happened to have the GTA name associated with it? Or would it be Nico Bellic, it's my cousin?
And Florian Krevich.
You know what the answer to that is? It should be like True Detective. Each one is its own thing.
Oh. They could do like a TV series and have one set in Liberty City and one set in Vice City and one set, and then just kind of put them all together in an Avengers-like franchise like everything else these days.
Ready Player One.
Oh, that's being made a movie. Yeah. Steven Spielberg's got that.
I know.
Wow. I didn't know that was a Spielberg thing, though.
Yeah.
It's a Spielberg joint.
That's a book, though.
It's also a book, not a game.
But it's all the video games.
Yeah. All the 80s ones.
Shit, I just said Last Starfighter, and you were like, no, fuck that.
No. It clearly is not in the category, but it's interesting that it's being made.
Oh,
Rocket
sure.
League the movie.
Oh, damn.
I'd rather watch Rocket League the live sporting event.
That was a thing at PAX for 3 out of the 4 days. They had an entire theater for it.
Wait.
They really had little tiny cars.
Yeah, exactly. And the ball exploded, and
I want to see that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Are they little tiny cars, or is it a giant stadium with life-size cars and a huge vault?
I think it's the latter. I think it's ostensibly the latter.
You're probably right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Portal, we need that.
There you go.
I could see that. Half-Life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how come they haven't made a Half-Life movie? Come on, that's like ripe.
They can't even make the third game.
True. Fucking bastards. Come on.
Oh, it hit me like a shiv.
I'm still, that cliffhanger is just, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, every time I think about it, I'm like, oh, I need to play that game.
Bro,
oh, I didn't realize Half-Life 2 ended on a cliffhanger. That's not right.
Well, it's Half-Life 2 Episode 2, right? It's like not only – they had like installments afterwards, and the last one ended on this massive cliffhanger.
Team Fortress 2, the movie.
But how? What's the plot? You're just continuing the tradition of shitty video games with that.
No way.
Guys, we got to invade this other fort. No, Counter Strike the movie.
Every trailer they've made of Team Fortress 2.
Protect the VIP team.
Yeah, I mean, what is Counter Strike the movie is going to be like an airport security procedural.
Oh man, they got a. Oh jeez, so many jokes.
Starring the guy who played Saeed as the terrorist.
As the terrorist.
That'd be bad because I would cheer for him.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to because we want to hear somebody say, because somebody has to say terrorists win
exactly.
At some point in the film in the movie, right?
That's the cliffhanger that ends the first film, and then the second film starts everybody starting again and reloading.
Brilliant.
No. In the sequel, Dr. Julian Bashir takes her for. Because those are like the two go-to Arab actors.
Yeah, it's true.
Because none of them are Arab.
Oh, man.
Good job, Hollywood.
Wasn't he in something recently and like in that same...
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Wait, so have we talked about True Detective since it ended?
I still have not seen any True Detective Season 2.
Oh, my God, dude. Okay, well, then we shall say no more, but holy shit. Like, yeah, it starts slow. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, it's awesome.
I'm on a very long flight to Asia in about another week, so I'll have some time.
Yeah, take that with you and watch it.
Okay.
It'll actually, you know, all the complaints, this is my guess, I haven't done it, but I'm guessing all of the complaints that people have about True Detective will go away if you just watch it back to 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 back. I think I got the right number there.
Okay.
So,
I really want to dig into this, but not. I don't want to spoil our castmates, Riyadh. Well, we'll have to put a pin on this again, I guess.
Once y'all have watched this. What we say again?
I had some problems with that season, and that's all I'll say for the time being.
Oh, yeah, dude, I'm not... There are structural problems with the season. I agree. The pacing wasn't great. There are problems. Yes, for sure. But I think in the end, the story was really strong, and I can forgive some of those pacing issues because they did end up having something resembling a reasonable noir story buried in there. And that's all I really wanted out of it. I didn't want perfect television. I mean, I did, but I didn't expect it, let's say.
Ariel?
Yes. I got to play the Fifth Amendment.
What was the name of the game that you turned me on to that was like this just... the only way I can describe... I can't remember the name of it, but it's the one with, like, you've got the guy with the ball gag in the mouth, and he's pulling...
Yeah, Saints Row. Saints Row the Third.
I want that as a movie.
That would challenge the viewers, that's for sure.
maybe we'll get a God, what's that Keanu Reeves
Netflix
action
original
movie?
Series.
Yeah, nice. Netflix original series. For some reason,
John Wick video game.
That's what I was just thinking. For some reason, when you started talking about Saints Row, like in my head, just this random thought popped in that like John Wick could be in the Saints Row universe, and then where would that go?
Oh, whoa, that would be
a crossover. Oh,
well, isn't Saints Row just like an insane pop culture mashup?
Yeah, it is. It's sort of like it's a pastiche of Grand Theft Auto with all this pop culture on top of it.
Yeah.
I like it more than Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, so do I, actually.
It's just so absurd. Every moment is absurd.
It's pretty great. It feels like there should be a place for that, but I sure as hell don't know what it is.
It's like Airplane the video game.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good analogy. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, so I realize that I'm still on Friday. Am I telling you about this? I'm doing a terrible job.
Yeah.
Okay, so... I played a module at the D&D hotel. Not actually what it's called, just in my head. That was okay. Module's all right. I will say this for PAX. Usually when you play those pickup games with people you don't know, at least at PAX, you tend to get pretty good. These are people that are choosing to spend that part of the day playing D&D, so they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you'll get someone that's trying too hard to be funny. necky, yeah. Kind of annoying. But usually they're pretty good gamers, and it's a lot of fun.
I'm usually the guy trying too hard to be funny.
That's me too. I sure as shit don't know what I'm doing with D&D.
Oh man, you remember when Mike the Room Troll was? We had that crazy. There was that crazy game that was written by Kurt.
Minds of Madness.
Minds of Madness, and Mike the Room Troll ended up being the dude who like backstabbed people. And, like, everyone hated him and his group or something, and I don't know.
You're conflating two different modules.
Oh, am I? Okay, all right, yeah. All right. Well, I remember Mike the Room Troll being like, hated by nearly everybody in the group that he was playing, but not this for is. Being
no,
an
no,
asshole.
That's real life. That's
oh, yeah, well, sure. But he wasn't role-playing that, but, like, somehow he was role-playing a character pretty faithfully and yet managed to make people hate him. Somehow that, I don't know, that sticks out in my mind as an example of maybe some people being a little, like, taking things a little too seriously. But, you know, then again, there was the other time when, I think this was when I was DMing at PAX and you and Mike and we were looking for that dude.
Jackie
who was
the monk.
Jackie the monk. And so Mike, of course, ran through the entire dungeon, aggroing everything in his path, shouting, Jackie, looking for him. That was a pretty epic adventure.
Wow.
Because why wouldn't you do that, really?
No reason whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
No, so I found a pretty fun group of people to play with. Good dungeon master, like they usually have. Most of the judges of those things are pretty skilled. So that was a good time. Then I got in line to watch Acquisitions Incorporated live. And this was the first time where they made it the thing of the night. So they cleared 3 hours. They had plenty of time. There was no counter programming. The bands did not play until Saturday and Sunday night.
As well.
So it's... Yeah, right. So I did fill out, and it was you know your main three, Jerry, Mike, Scott Kurtz, and Patrick Rothfuss, rounding out the four. And then
Chris Straub did the animation, the intro animation, right?
Yes, sir.
He posted it on YouTube.
Crushed it as always.
No,
it was hilarious.
No Morgan Webb playing this time. She was in the last one, right?
Yeah. No, Morton, I don't. I given to understand that her show was canceled recently.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure what she's doing now.
Huh.
But yeah. Anyway, the story was is they were trying to find Dritzt from the Forgotten Realms novels.
Uh huh. Huh.
Who had gone crazy, so they had to fight him.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was pretty cool. They had plenty of time. They weren't rushed as they have been basically at every one of these events until now. I think the moment of it was there was a point where Drizzt is standing on a bridge, and I cut it. He doesn't fall. They're like, oh, shit, did like a levitate spell? And Rothfuss quips, no, he's got boots of I don't give a fuck.
Nice.
Anyway, there's a point where they've got him on the ropes, and like everyone in the the audience is getting into it again. You know, I don't. This is not esports, but I guess this would be table sports. Everyone's like nice. Urging him on.
T-sports.
Okay. All right, I like it. And he turns the eyes like, listen, guys, I can't kill another author's character. That's not cool.
That's funny.
Yeah. No, it was a good time.
Cool.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Production value is stupid. They trick out the thing, and they make like a special 3D map for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sweet.
Oh yeah.
Now, is Wizards directly involved with that?
Absolutely.
Weren't they at the? So they were at the beginning for sure, but like now they still are.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That's.
They just rolled out Acquisitions Incorporated merchandise.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, they finally got that figured out.
Huh. So
that's going to be a thing I think moving forward for sure.
What do you have to figure out?
Yeah, well...
Lawyers.
Okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
Enough said.
I was going to say Wizardry is pretty good at figuring out how to sell shit, so...
Yeah, I don't think it's a design problem.
He owns dwarves, so to speak, within a certain area, but who owns Benwyn, for example?
Yeah, I think it's all those legal matters, I'm guessing.
Yep.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I just figure out how to share the cash. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. You have to. You get this size shovel to shovel the cash, and you have this size shovel.
Right. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, usually the problem is, like, one side wants the shovel, and everyone else can just, you know, can fuck right off.
Yeah.
And when they take that tack, you know, that's why, you know, shit doesn't happen for 5 years, for example. Hmm. Not that I'm saying that's what happened here, but...
Sure, but these things, as you say, take time. Interesting. So that covers, what, Saturday now, or was that still Friday?
It covers Friday, and it doesn't quite finish. So I get out of here, and I'm going to tell this story even though I come off with like a complete dipshit. Because it's worth talking about. I'm leaving the hall. I'm calling my girlfriend to get a ride, right, because the buses are done for the night. It's just that late. And there's a gentleman staggering down the street. Now, you guys have been to 6th Street in Austin, Texas, just like I have. So you know that stagger of, I've had too much to drink. That's what I assumed it was. So I just kind of, you know, I kind of scoot off a little bit. I'm like, all right. I'll let that guy do his thing. He gets a little closer to me. Now I see the whites of his eyes, and he's got this almost like a shuffle going on. I'm thinking, and I'm a PAX, right? Huh, zombie cosplayer. No, it's cosplayer. He walks by me a little bit and then just collapses. I'm like, oh, shit. He's not kidding. He's actually not well.
Whoa.
So, yeah, so me and a couple bystanders are, like, trying to, you know, wake him up, and then, again, it's PAX, so everyone's phones are shot to shit.
Uh-huh.
So for me, because I charged mine during my D&D game. So I'm calling 911, and then all of a sudden, Pat Rothfuss, because they're leaving too. Now, that's how much time has elapsed. Then he comes out, and he's like, all right, I'm not Pat anymore. I'm taking my mask off. I'm actually Quoth. I didn't make that guy up, that's who I am. He totally fucking regulates.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, okay, we're going to roll him over. We're going to take this jack on our head. We're going to take, you know, make sure he's okay. Respiration's good. All this stuff. Total badass mode.
Wow.
And then, you know, Mike Failauer is over there, you know, flagging down the ambulances that comes over. It was a surreal way to meet these people.
Do you think he does this normally?
Yeah,
no,
all bets are
off the table. I mean,
that's one of those things that people just do, right? He just walks around town at midnight looking for homeless people to help.
I'm just picturing after you know, if you're the big dog at a big convention, you know, you're walking around feeling on top of the world, you know, and you walk out and see this, and you're just, I am a god, and just, you know, you just step in and mouth to mouth, you resurrect the guy.
Yeah.
You just walk over to him and go, rise, and then he just gets back up.
Nice.
What ho. I believe is the catchphrase he utters at the
game.
He's
wearing his boots that don't give a fuck.
That's a pretty crazy situation, man.
Yeah, it was weird. It was, I mean, and Hulk, I swear to God, it's half a penny arcade that comes out while this is going on. It was a bizarre way to meet him. But, you know, they all hung out and, you know, were trying to help as much as they could, and...
Wow.
I guess my summarizing thought here is, anyone has a problem with Penny Arcade, you know, being assholes or something like this, or insensitive, that you might want to rethink that stance. If the worst thing these guys ever do is maybe go too far over the line trying to make you laugh, you probably need to get over that. These are stand-up guys. I watched them help, you know, the guy wasn't that bad, as it turned out. He just, I'm not telling you what the hell happened, to be honest, but you know, they try to help a guy need.
I'm sorry. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but those noses just look like shit.
Some things you can forgive. Some things you can't. This is what we've learned.
Are you saying that's a nose too far, Keyshawn?
Nice.
I'm sorry. I don't actually believe what I just said. But that
I know. No, you saw a shot. You took it. I appreciate it.
That's like the end of that Utes game yesterday. He goes deep.
Balls deep.
Wow.
Big balls.
Yeah. So, wait, speaking of, so this is another tangent. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So now that we've hit the end of Friday and I've managed to make a reference to college football for a second, can we get Key to give us an update on the Longhorns?
Oh,
I think
yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah, they're on the side of the streak and Mike Failour is trying to resurrect them.
I see. Now, have they collapsed? Well, I mean,
did I nail that right? It was Failour you saw first?
No, it was Pat Rothfuss.
God damn it. It would have been a better joke.
So it goes.
Shit.
Fix it in post. In fairness, it was Notre Dame they were playing, right? So they were going to lose.
Actually, I had no idea because, you know, the preseason rankings, can you really believe them? So when Notre Dame's number 11, for all I care, that could be Notre Dame's really a 30, or that's Notre Dame's a 4, and you have no idea.
Yeah, it's true.
Football rankings are so all over the place.
Yeah, and I honestly couldn't tell you, even having watched the game, if Notre Dame's that good or if Texas is that bad. Surely Texas is that bad. But oh my God, do we have some good young players.
Well, good. As long as you're recruiting well and, you know, you keep some continuity in the coaching staff for the next couple of years, things will get better, one hopes.
That freshman linebacker, Jesus Harold, he is a monster. And forgive me, I'm forgetting his name, but he was just killing it out. Every good play you saw on defense, and there were only about 4, that kid was the primary factor. And if you don't realize it, but it's one guy. It's a linebacker, and
I realize it.
I'm failing the city, but
you see, Keyshawn, football players have jersey numbers that designate who they are.
Yeah, I knew his name last night. I've forgotten it after one.
Oh, okay.
He is a freshman.
Well, what's going on with the offense? There's still no quarterback.
I think last night what was it? The opposite of swoops. What is the word that is the opposite of swoops? And I think trudge is what I came up with.
Huh.
And so I'm going to call him Tyrone Trudge until he shows me otherwise. He's about 6'3" of just lumbering. Maybe lumber, that was a word.
And
it's horrible.
The best of my knowledge, that's still a word.
There's no threat at a pass. Except they've got another really good freshman wide receiver named Hurt, I think. And, man, he's hot stuff, but you need somebody that can throw accurately to get it to him. And honestly, this guy can't even stand in the pocket. And you know, he's done for, you know. So it just hurts.
Yeah.
But there was good football to be had, just not watching the Longhorns.
I was mostly watching tennis yesterday. So.
BYU threw a Hail Mary with their backup quarterback.
Well, that was BYU, not the Utes. I'm sorry, I made the wrong reference earlier. Yeah, that was.
Okay.
Yeah, their quarterback, who's supposed to be pretty decent, goes out with, an ACL tear or something?
The kid's
about
been
midway
injured
through
3 years in a row. He needs to get away from football. It's like,
wow.
His leg was broken. This is some horrible other injury that he's out for the season, and then he had another season ender 2 years ago. He's never made it longer than 6 games, and so that kid's just got to get away. But the backup comes in.
Want to get away?
I got to get away. Would you say he has to fly away?
Oh.
Sounds like Sam Bradford to me. What's the problem?
Don't worry, he'll get drafted by St. Louis.
And then traded to the Eagles.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Malik Jefferson. That's the linebacker's name. That dude is a monster.
Jefferson?
Yes.
He's moving on up.
Yes, he is.
He finally got a piece of the pie, Keyshawn.
Mark my words, unless they just destroy him at UT – he'll be playing the NFL because it's just like, as a freshman, he's just coming in and just destroying everybody.
Pretty sweet. Has anyone else been? Has anyone else been following the U.S. Open as closely as me? I can answer that. No one's been following it.
Not as closely as you. I knew about the Nadal thing, and I heard about the drone crashing at the beginning of the tournament.
Oh, my God. God damn. But it's been a pretty good tournament. It's been entertaining this week, obviously, quarter, semis, and finals. So if you want to get in on the ground floor, well, this isn't the ground floor anymore, but watch anyway. It's fun. Serena plays Venus tomorrow the next day. Yeah, they ended up on the same side of the draw, so they are now in the quarterfinals and playing against one another.
Wow, when is the last time that happened?
At Wimbledon this year.
Oh, no, really? Oh.
Yeah. They played each other at Wimbledon this year. They played each other a few years ago. They've actually played each other in slams many times, like over a dozen. Venus used to win. Early in their career, Venus was better. I think recently Serena's been dominating. Serena won at Wimbledon. It seems likely that Serena will win, but hey, you know, there's like a mental aspect to this, and who knows?
Yeah, so, and they're doubles partners too, right? They always clean up on doubles.
Yeah, they're quite good. I don't know if they're playing this year at doubles, but they have in the past been quite good at doubles.
Cool.
So, yeah. Also, this was awesome. There's an American, a young American player named Donald Brown, who he was not seeded. He played into the tournament for, you know, normally the way that happens is you play in via satellite tournaments, right? So you win a tournament, win another tournament, et cetera, and you play into the. So his name is Donald Brown, and he's kind of been an underdog in all of his matches so far, and he's won 2 5-setters in a row, coming back from 2 sets down.
Wow.
So, yeah. Dude's like, he's a very fun to watch. He's a lefty, which is always a slightly strange thing to watch for me, but he moves around the court really well. He plays well at the baseline. He does some interesting things.
That's
so,
a long, 2 sets is a long time for the cocaine to set in, though.
Nice. I hope you weren't being accidentally – well, I'm sure you weren't being accidentally racist, but he is, in fact, a young African-American man. So
no idea.
Yeah. So anyway, but no, he's a good player. He's fun to watch. I think tomorrow he plays Stan Wawrinka, so I don't expect him to – do the same sort of magic he's done before, because Wawrinka is number 4 in the world now and awesome. But it might be an entertaining match to watch. Who knows? At the very least, Wawrinka has maybe the best backhand of all time. Wow. Like it's unbelievable.
The celestial backhand.
It really does. He's got like first of all, okay, so he's a one-hander. He's
very
like,
friends of tennis.
Yeah. Right. But it's just a beautiful thing to watch. Yes, better than Shaft. Also, probably, arguably better than Federer. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So it might be an entertaining match to watch if you're looking for something to watch. Not that you'll be listening to this podcast then, but you, the other people on the podcast, might care to do so if you're bored. I suppose there's college football on tomorrow too, right?
On Labor Day?
Isn't there?
I don't know.
I mean, the NFL season isn't open yet, so that wouldn't that be a good time for them to try and, like, get in some – maybe not. I don't know. I thought maybe there was one game.
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, I suck. All you've got is tennis or baseball. You may as well watch tennis.
Base tennis.
Gee, I can't believe you've given up on baseball. Say again?
Base tennis is the worst.
He's up 2 sets and on second base. He steals a break.
So have you guys seen any of the previews for Arrow or Flash next season?
Yeah.
I've seen that horrible costume for Giggle.
Oh, yeah, that mask is travesty.
That's all right. Somebody hit it with a baseball bat and everybody will
cheer. It's okay. Yeah, that could have done so much better. But Yeah, interesting stuff. I guess magic will be a bigger part of the season 4 of Arrow, and Constantine shows up, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, me too.
Isn't Constantine getting revived? No, pun intended. Damn it. Isn't Constantine happening as like a show or a movie or something on its own? I know that Constantine happened as a movie a while ago.
Well, it was a show on its own.
Oh, is it gone?
Yeah, it got canceled. Yeah.
Oh, did it suck?
Nope. Apparently, it was good.
It was. I liked what I saw of it.
We're at peak superhero, man.
Yeah, NBC just couldn't support it. I don't think. So the same characters.
It wasn't even Fox canceling the show.
No, in fact,
NBC Fox, this time.
Yeah, Fox is actually continuing with Gotham season 2. Believe it or not, they haven't canceled it yet.
Jesus, why?
CBS is going to cancel it with Supergirl.
Yeah, and CBS has Supergirl coming up.
And NBC wanted to put their money behind Heroes: The Return.
Correct.
No, I mean.
No.
To be fair to NBC, Constantine's ratings were bad. It just happened to be a good show that didn't catch on.
I see.
So he'll be on Arrow for like one episode, the same character from the same continuity,
yep.
But it'll be fun.
Better.
Yeah, I hope so.
There's just too many of those shows right now.
I guess so. I'm loving it.
Did you just sneak a McDonald's commercial?
Is the, forgive me, I can't remember the name, Agent Carter, is that coming back?
Yes, it is. Yes. Okay. That's going to be fun.
Who's the new showrunner for Daredevil season 2?
My high school friend Marco Ramirez and one other person whose name I escapes me right now.
I believe it was the assistant to that last time.
Yeah, Marco was supervising producer and a writer in season 1. He also wrote the latest episode of Fear the Walking Dead. If anybody's watching Fear the Walking Dead, I'm not, but I know.
When you say the latest episode, season 2 or the one that's coming, or I'm sorry, episode 2 or the one that's coming up next week?
The one that just aired recently.
Oh, okay.
Not the one in the future that doesn't exist yet.
He wrote that?
He wrote that episode.
Don't smack him.
Okay.
Yeah, be nice to the brother. He had to write a zombie story.
I know, but damn it. You just don't go doing dumb things just because you need to have somebody do something dumb.
Okay.
Well, now, remember, it's a zombie story, so we're already starting at dumb things.
Yeah.
I guess
otherwise, nothing happens.
I guess that's true.
He also wrote a bunch of episodes for Sons of Anarchy. He's been around the industry for a while. I have faith in him. I liked what he contributed to in season 1 of Daredevil, so we'll see.
No, I believe in Harvey Dent.
Oh, I'll believe in anybody that worked on season 1 of Daredevil.
Yeah, right on.
Give me a hello.
Did you see the wall of guns that John Bernthal tweeted for part of his Punisher thing for next season?
Did you retweet it?
I did not retweet it.
Shame on you.
But Marvel did, and Daredevil's account did.
Keyshawn, what happened Saturday that you all of a sudden answered, like, 20,000 tweets from the last 2 months.
I like go away and then come back.
Oh.
This is bad radio. I was just curious.
It's just a matter of finding time to actually get back and look at tweets.
It's an interesting strategy, but I think you're going to find that you're going to have trouble getting your tweets to trend if they're not, come on, man. You gotta SEO your tweeting.
Say, look, man, this Ducks thing is going to go by the wayside before you know it. You got to get in on that, like at the ground floor.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. If there's some way for you to – can you give us the reaction video of your kids watching that or something to like
– I don't think they would find it funny.
No, they wouldn't. They would have nightmares for like 5 years.
Oh, that's a good point. I wasn't trying to give your kids nightmares, but now that I think about it, don't show us the reaction video. Show us them crying with the nightmares. That could be a thing.
Show us 5 years of therapy for the...
Show me refund.
I got a question for everybody. Well, not for everybody, because I know Ariel's answer to this is yes.
Oh.
Have you guys tried the Oculus Rift yet?
Nope.
Wait, no.
I got to try it last weekend.
What'd you think?
How are you waiting this long to tell us?
Well, I don't want to quash our tangents. I think that's half the fun of the show.
Oh, Oh, tell us then.
It took me an hour to get through Friday. Pacing myself. No, I'll try and go faster here, so we hit all the high stuff. But yeah, that was definitely a high point for me. I played Virtual Reality Time Machine or something along some iteration of that. Not to be confused.
Was there a hot tub involved?
Knew that was coming. Headed it off.
Damn it.
Honestly, though, that would be a great virtual reality game. I would totally play that.
That's Oculus Rift party game where you all sit around on your couches, right. But it looks like you're in a hot tub. And then I don't know how that works.
This feels like a pitch a game for PAX South.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good, actually.
What is it?
But no, I got to play with like a newer version that they're testing where the sound is built in too. So that was super cool.
Yeah, it's got the built-in headphones thing.
Yeah, I want to say they called it like the Phoenix or something, but that's not right. But it's some weird mythological beast that sits on your head. But yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
When they come out with the face hugger, I will be
oh gross
right there.
Oh god, that would be terrifying for an aliens game in VR.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's what they need to do. Or Half-Life, a head crab.
Yeah. So actually, there's a new Aliens arcade game where you have, like, that badass machine gun thing.
Huh. Oh, that thing was awesome.
It's fun. That's a fun, fun game.
So did you find
this is a new thing? Hold on, this is a new thing? Because, like, wasn't there an old-ass Aliens, like, stand-up arcade box with the... I thought it was new
because I had never seen it until I played it this year. Austin's Pinballs Arcade.
Yeah, that's where I played it.
Yeah, I think it's badass.
Yeah, it was fun. So did you find on the Oculus that your brain was starting to think it was real? Like you were losing your sense of what's real and what's not?
No, I wouldn't go that far. But it really, I was supposed to be like piloting like a submarine craft.
Uh-huh.
And it did have that, you know, kind of half weightless buoyancy thing going on pretty well. And it was really cool, like, to look down, and it's not your legs, it's like the VR legs.
Yeah.
And then you could, it was pretty neat. If that's where gaming's going, I'm all in.
Yep.
Yeah, that was totally worth the line that I stood in for like 25 minutes for it. Not bad at all.
Cool.
Star Wars Battlefront. Oh my god. That looks amazing.
Oh, really?
Like you're in the goddamn game.
That's sweet.
I know the early thing was like, oh, just Call of Duty with fucking Star Wars skin. And
pretty much.
But yeah, that's awesome. Why would you just miss like that as anything but awesome? I'm all in. Yeah, they had some neat shit. Oh my god.
Huh.
That looks badass.
Huh. Man, the last Star Wars video game.
I know Key will be all over that and the highest possible recommendation. That looks fun and sweet.
What is any of y'all ever? I'm sorry. Go on.
I was just reiterating. Halo 5 actually had the longest line I saw. I mean.
Oh really?
I think that game has officially become a lifestyle rather than a game. It's entered into that realm, like magic.
I just don't understand what. Like, I mean, I guess the gameplay might have some new mechanic associated, but are these people chasing more of the story or what?
I think part of it's a story. I think they do add different multiplayer modes. They aren't just rehashing the ones that they've had for years. And that the movement, like the feel of the game is slightly different. So there's that. I think there are some other innovations I just can't remember off the top of my head for Halo 5. So yeah, it's one of the biggest games coming out, you know, in the next 3 months. So.
Well, sure. I mean, you have Halo anything and it's going to be a big game, right?
Yeah, Halo 4 came out like 2 years ago now, 2 or 3 years ago, so people were chomping on the bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think Destiny gave those guys a reprieve for a year.
Yeah, and then everybody was pissed at Destiny because it had next to no story, so like that ticked a lot of people off. But the gameplay of Destiny is pretty great, but not the kind of immersive story you get in Halo.
Oh no, Krahulik of Penny Arcade is actually a big fan of Destiny.
Yeah, I know, but like some people like get really jazzed and they're really into it because they just love the grind. But that the game is pure grind. There is nothing
interesting
else to it.
I understood that he was trying to talk up like story elements, such that they were.
You can use your imagination, and there's infinite megahertz for you and gigabytes for your imagination.
That may be what it is, because he apparently like writes Destiny fanfic. Like he admitted this at the Q&As over the weekend.
Yeah, and they had like at least one fanfic comic for it, but like. Mm-hmm. Like, fundamentally, like, I played through the whole game, I mean, and some of the end game, and, like, it just doesn't have a ton of story. Like, the gameplay itself was just awesome, like, really smooth, best shooting I've played in a first-person shooter in a long time, but not, like, a ton of story. They are also retconning Peter Dinklage's voice out of the game in the next expansion.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
So that sparked some controversy.
Any reason why?
Apparently his voice acting was pretty terrible in it.
I mean, there wasn't much for him to say to begin with, but a lot of people accused him of phoning it in. So that's two video game strikes against Peter Dinklage this year, that and Pixels.
To be fair, Pixels is a strike against God and man.
Yeah. Pixels counts as multiple. I mean, Pixels is just, you're ejected from...
I doubt any of you guys have bothered to see either of these films, but do we know, is Pixels worse than Fantastic Four?
I did not see either of them.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that it is, because Happy Madison films recently have been fucking awful. Yeah. What's the last good Happy Madison film? No, that's
a whole other podcast onto itself.
God.
Yeah, it's true. That's an impossible question to answer.
Was that an intentional flub?
No. Happy Madison is the name of their production company, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe I got it wrong, but in my head, I think of it as Happy Madison.
That's okay, so I'll rephrase the question. Was that an intentional flub of Adam Sandler's?
Oh, probably not. He probably, like...
I like the idea that Happy Madison is not a film company, but a genre that Adam Sandler works in.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
Funny People. Funny People might be the last decent Adam Sandler movie, but I don't know if that's actually a Happy Madison film.
Has a hot girlfriend, hijinks ensue.
That was, what?
Yeah, that wasn't. That was, what's his name?
Judd Apatow.
Yeah, that was an Apatow film. I thought of a couple podcasts ago, maybe several podcasts ago, we had this question. This comes out of nowhere, but while it's in my head, we had this question. There was always this sort of there was this question like there were these two ladies in what the hell was it, Cyrus? This 70s show, there were these two women, and it was like you were trying to pick between door A and door B.
We were Golden Girls. The ginger what? And
God damn it.
That was good. All right. We were discussing the Ginger and Marianne of our generation.
Ginger and Marianne, of course. Okay, so another possibility for Ginger and Marianne of our generation would be Buffy and...
Faith.
And Faith. No. Was that her name?
Didn't get wrong.
Hmm? Faith.
Yeah. There you go.
About Sarah Michelle Gellar versus...
Eliza Dushku.
Thank you.
No. Hold on a second. I actually didn't think that Yes.
Oh.
Cordelia.
Cordelia, yes.
Charisma is already... She's still attractive. I don't want to say she's not, but she is... She plays Jason Statham's girlfriend in...
Oh, yeah, in The Expendables.
Yeah, thank you. The Unfortunates, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, that's more appropriate. That title's more appropriate, frankly.
Oh, wow. What about B'Elanna Torres?
The Abominable, what were the names? I don't know.
B'Elanna Torres, you said?
Yes.
From Voyager?
Yeah, but it has to be, has to be on the same show, doesn't it?
That came up with PAX.
I'm just curious because Ariel's got a picture of her up on his wall, and
and all the other engineers from every other Star Trek, not just her.
I can't. The only one that shows up on the picture is B'Elanna Torres, and I'm like, now it makes sense.
Seven of Nine was an engineer. God damn it!
I was wondering why I just have a photo of B'Elanna Torres.
I can see Scotty. Scotty's there.
Now I believe it, but I could only see Belana Torres, and I was like, why?
All right. So why? All right. So that begs the next question. Who is the hottest engineer in Star Trek history? Go.
Hottest engineer in Star Trek history?
The blonde in the last movie.
Oh, Alice Eve? Yes.
She was a doctor, dude.
She was a doctor.
No, she wasn't.
Dr. Carol Marcus.
Yeah, Carol but she wasn't a medical doctor, though. I thought she was a doctor of something else, like a doctorate, PhD.
No, she made Genesis in the original canon.
Yeah.
And Kirk's son. Different kind of doctor.
Uh-huh. That's playing doctor is very different.
Nice. I wouldn't put that above James Tiberius Kirk.
She made Genesis and Kirk's son. Like she was brewing an experiment. Wow. Yeah. That's childbirth.
This is a good question. I don't know the answer to this.
Hottest engineer.
Scotty.
Well, let's imagine for a second that Scotty is off the table. Yeah, it's true.
Dude, it's LeVar Burton all the way. Come on.
Riyadh, I don't want you to spend another second. That was a joke. I did not actually want you to, like, go and
damn it.
Quantify these male actors in such a way.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll stop.
It's important thing to do.
Man.
But, I mean, we all know that the, you know, best looking executive crew member would. No, I'll stop.
No, I'll bite. Finish that sentence.
No, I didn't actually have one.
You were going to say Riker. You were going to say Riker. Everybody knows who you're going to say.
Yes. Yes. Because of the leg over chair. I mean, that's the smoothest move in the world right there.
He does that.
I'm like the Kirk, though, where you sit at an angle like there's something in your ass. But you know it's still your ship, so you got to captain that damn ship. Someone's got to yell at Sulu. No, this actually came out of PAX. They were making the argument that Janeway was the most attractive female on Voyager.
Bullshit.
No, the answer was yes.
No, the Borg.
Seven of nine, man.
Seven of nine. That wasn't even. What the fuck.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the sort of... I thought... I liked Kes a lot.
Kes was a cutie. I'm going to throw out that Jeri Ryan may have been a bit of a butterface. Would you guys agree or disagree with that assessment?
I disagree. I think Jeri Ryan was good all around.
She was so good looking, it didn't matter.
Well, then
that
how...
That doesn't... Yeah, what?
That refutes the butterface.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, so when you say good looking, you mean she was like, so she was voluptuous enough to
be. If you ever got past the rest of it, I never saw her face.
I see. Now I get it.
You can't have a butter face unless you see her face and go, oh, butter face. If you don't ever get to the face to say butter face.
Wow.
So I see. So you just look at her chest and kind of set up camp there.
No, it wasn't chest so much. It was, I think, the outfit. I think it was the outfit. They left nothing to the imagination.
Oh, dude, she couldn't breathe in that outfit. Yeah. She passed out regularly.
She said this, yeah.
All the better.
What?
Wow.
That wasn't so much a costume as a exterior skin graft, and I missed the joke, I think.
Horrible things.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I Kes was super cute. I don't remember what the actress's name was.
She's the manic pixie alien dream girl.
Yes, exactly. She's got so many modifiers on manic pixie. She's like the manic pixie alien telepathic whatever dream girl. Didn't she eventually like sort of get sucked into some like
thing.
Alien consciousness thing or some shit? I don't remember.
Something like
that. They wrote her out when they brought Seven of Nine in.
Yes, that's
and
true.
That was the last season of Voyager I actually watched, which was, I don't know, I really kind of enjoyed it. I thought she was an interesting... They kind of systematically put her against the other characters, and that was kind of cool.
Yeah. I remember watching
her and the holographic doctor. That was a really neat twist. You had a
they had a good
how to be human.
Yeah,
that was kind of fun.
They had a good on screen rapport too. So I loved the doctor. He was so good.
I don't know.
How did we get? Well, that's okay. So, but did anyone actually watch that show, like, except for the finale? Like, I watched the first, I don't know, two seasons of it and then stopped. And then I was like, oh, there's going to be a finale. And then.
I watched the first, like, three or four seasons before giving up.
Yeah, it was the first 7 or 9 was the last one I watched. And then I watched the finale. I bailed when Species 5709 or whatever the shit it was called showed up.
5791, I think. But I could be wrong. That just came to my head. I could be wrong. That show is the first show I ever saw an internet argument about. That's a strange milestone, I know. This was on Usenet, and it was the episode where Tom Paris, like, goes to transwarp and then turns into a lizard beast.
I remember that fucking episode.
I do, too. I'm ashamed.
And people hated it because
it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, of course, people hated it because it didn't make any sense. And like, it didn't even occur to me until that point that like people would get into these massive. I mean, obviously, I would talk with my friends about shows sometimes, but like, people got into these massive flame wars about shit. And so, like, that was the first television show I ever saw a flame war about, and it was that episode, and it was on Usenet.
Social media, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. I'll do you one better. I remember talking on message boards when I was younger about, you know, the big thing was because films hadn't, like, become awesome and adapted everything under the sun yet. So everyone, you'd have, like, fan casting for, you know, this Lord of the Rings film that would never happen, for example.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Apparently, Ian McKellen, like, at his house, according to Patrick Stewart, just has Gandalf's staff like in an umbrella holder, like at the front door.
That's so awesome.
Well, yeah. You know, there's a story that when they were filming it, Viggo Mortensen got in a bad habit of forgetting to take his sword off.
Oh.
And would get in trouble when he would go cabs or to Gold's Gym in New Zealand, and they'd be like,
"What the hell?"
They'd be like, "Oh, that's right, I have the Flame of the West in my hip. Hang on, let me take this off."
That's hilarious.
Yeah, there's Dominic Monaghan has a whole story about this in those DVD extras that no one watches anymore. It's worth digging out.
Cool.
Whatever happened to the third sword that they found in that trove from the trolls? So there was Sting, and there was what were the other two called? This is a terrible thing to I mean, this is like insanely nerdy. There was Sting, and there was Glamdring, and there was one more, Orcrist. And I forget its name. Orcrist. So Orcrist was the one that went to the dwarf?
It was put in by Thorin, and it was buried.
Yeah, Thorin, right. And then Glamdring is the one that Gandalf had.
The Foe Hammer.
Yeah. He didn't actually have that in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, though, right? Like, that was somehow not there.
No, he had it.
Oh, we did see him with a sword at some point in there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when the Balrog couldn't pass?
Yeah.
Haven't you seen the big thing?
Yes, of course.
Haven't you seen the big thing online where somebody broke down that Gandalf was never really a wizard? He was like a level 17 fighter that had put a lot of experience points or whatever in certain level 1 and level 2 magical spells. And I mean,
oh, yeah, I've heard this claim, but Scott Kurtz was making the claim the only thing he ever cast was light.
Yeah, light and like what was it? In Summon Eagles. Like that?
Did y'all ever watch the Hobbit movies?
Yes,
I've seen parts of them.
Key, yeah. Did you ever watch them? You did.
Oh, yeah.
Was there a question behind that, or
the third one was a fucking god awful mess. I finally two were watchable. The third one was horrific. It was like a bloated corpse of a movie. It was like, oh my god! I don't bother. It's so full of shit. Just
this is so much Orlando Bloom, huh?
I don't even know how to describe how bad it is. Like, things barely hang together.
Is it worse There's than no, Pixels?
Oh, I haven't seen Pixels. I imagine it's not nearly that bad.
Let's it can't not, be let's, as bad as Pixels.
Let's maintain perspective here.
But like, you know, there's bad, there's bad, right?
The CG was not that good. And then, like, the story made no sense. And, oh, my God. And, like, there were these, like, protracted action sequences that just got boring. And, oh, my God, just, ugh, I thought it was horrible. I mean, I watched it because, you know, it was there on HBO Go and I had some beer. But I mean, it was in front of me, and so I looked at it and all.
Oh man!
I mean, I could have got up, but I didn't want to.
I was pretty tired, so I just kept sitting there, and it kept showing me the movie, and I kept saying, "Okay, well,
got to knock this one out."
I did it for America.
Knock this one out. This sounds like you're taking a crap, Key. I want to get up, but I got to finish this.
It was less satisfying than taking a crap.
All right. I just found the article about Gandalf. It says he has proficiency in the longsword, but he's also a trained dual weapon fighter. To have that level of competency to wield both weapons, you're looking at a dexterity of at least 17, coupled with monkey grip feet to be able to fight with a quarterstaff one-handed in his offhand. Three dual weapon fighting feats, monkey grip and martial weapon proficiency, would take up 5 of his 7 feats as a wizard. Far too many to be an effective build. That's why when he faced a real wizard like Saruman, he got stomped. He'd taken no feats or skills useful to a wizard. If he had used his sword, he would have carved up Saruman without any effort. So the spell he casts are all second level or less. Casts Spook on Bilbo to snap him out of his ring fetish. When he's trapped on top of Isengard, an animal messenger spell gets him help. Going to Moria, he uses his staff to cast Light. Facing the Balrog, all he does is cast armor and an engineering check on the bridge.
Finally, knowledge skill.
I hate that I understand all the nuances of it.
I know. Instead of launching a fireball into the mast, Uruk High, in the Two Towers, he simply takes a 20 on a nature check to see when the sun will crest the hill.
Hey, you gotta admit, he doesn't burn the spell.
Gandalf stops the hunter's assault on him by parrying 2 missile weapons, another fighter feat, and then casting another first level spell with heat metal.
Well, you know, hold on a second. There is a wizard spell to parry deflect arrow or something in there. Come on now.
Yeah,
I can't be the only one that thought of that.
No, it's level 1.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, there you go. Just shield spell.
The Balrog's whip got lucky with a critical hit. Oh, man.
So,
he could have attempted.
They're arguing that he has a high int. Like a 19.
I don't know.
Trap. It was a trick. Because what's the first thing you do when you face off against a wizard that's up front in the party? You go right after him because you think he's squishy. Turns out that he was a fighter all along.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
So weird. How did he fail the grapple check against the whip? That's what if he's a fighter, he should have decent strength, decent dex. He can use either one.
But those large gargantuan colossal type monsters have ridiculous strength bonuses though.
That's true. The Balrog has a racial bonus to grappling with the whip, too.
The whole falling part was due to a lack of oversight on behalf of the party. Seriously, how does a ranger forget to bring rope?
Gandalf, you know what? I'm not going to call bullshit on that. Featherfall is a first-level spell.
It's true.
Gandalf wasn't saved by divine forces after he hit the bottom. He merely soaked up the damage because he was sitting on 20 d10 plus constitution bonus worth of hit points. Oh man.
So combining this and video games, a somewhat common discussion has also been, is Ryu from Street Fighter a wizard? Discuss.
Oh. Damn.
Wouldn't Ken have to be two then?
Also, yes, both of them. But
wait a second. No, no, no. They can cast. They just have Fireball at will, right? They can cast an infinite number of them. So that's got to be a racial power.
They're monks. They're using ki, right?
Oh, but even that, they would run out of ki.
Maybe the matches are too soon. They're too fast. They have so much mana that you can't tell until the end of the. Yeah.
Or they could be such high level monks that don't they eventually get?
Doesn't Dalzim like have fire because he eats curry? I mean, we probably over.
He has fire because of racism. That's why he has fire.
Yes,
but he can also nice. The fires of racism burn deep in him. So, but he can also disappear and reappear at will. But again, that's racism. It's just the designers of the game thought Indians were really crafty.
Oh, God.
Hey, they're the racists, not me.
I thought they were trying to say that was yoga mysticism. No?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You keep telling yourself that.
But as far as the limb thing, I got nothing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's also a subject of popular debate, is whether Ryu is a wizard or not.
Just well, as long as we're bringing up popular debates, you put an airplane on a treadmill. I'm sorry. I'm
no,
sorry.
This again,
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. I want to know what the debate is.
Oh, shit.
I guess I do,
so
too.
The internet is a giant government hoax, which is designed to get people to argue about whether an airplane on a giant treadmill could take off. So imagine that we have
God
a runway.
See, you can't know that now.
Wait
this
a minute.
This is something that's a giant fucking debate on the
Wait,
internet.
Wait, why?
Imagine because...
No
yes.
shit!
Yep. That's
oh my
why.
God. God damn it. Tell me... Wait, is there any, like, extenuating factor, like,
no, it's
high
just,
wind or something like that?
No. Just imagine that the runway is a treadmill and it tries to match the speed of the wheels of the plane and somehow to prevent the plane from taking off as a result. And
God.
People are convinced that, no, the plane can't take off because they're nuts.
Wait a minute. I agree.
Oh, God
oh,
damn
God.
It!
Riyadh, you started this.
We're going to stop this now before this becomes a total train wreck.
Hang on.
No, I think you mean a plane wreck.
Yes. The plane has crashed into the goddamn mountain.
The plane's not moving.
But the air is moving. The air is moving around the plane.
Yeah, the speed at which the plane's wheels spin does not matter.
Right.
Therefore, no matter what you do, you could run the treadmill at infinite speed, and it would still, well, it would burn the wheels off in that case. But imagine.
Wait a minute. I agree. It would burn the wheels off. It wouldn't lift off.
How does the plane lift off? How does the plane lift
off? I'm arguing it would not lift off.
It would lift off, period.
Wait.
There we go.
God, I mean, this is. We could argue about this for days. It really, the reason that this is such a problem is because it's hard to. It's
the American
hard to
education system.
No, well, no, it's because it's hard. It's underspecified. Like what I mean when I say that the treadmill attempts to keep the plane from moving, right? Like if you imagine the treadmill successfully keeps the plane in place,
yes.
Then sure, of course it can't take off. But
yeah,
my
that's
claim
what I
is.
Mean.
My claim is that the treadmill could never possibly keep the plane in place.
Why?
Because it doesn't. Because the wheels of the airplane spinning to first order don't actually exert any force on the rest of the airplane. They're just rollers.
Right.
The thing that causes the plane to move is the engines. So yes. It doesn't really like the.
This is a
the
more
wheels would just
version of
the wheels would just thing. Spin faster. Right. But then again, you could imagine if the plane actually manages to stay in place. Like what we're really getting down to, the question ends up being, if the plane somehow is staying in place,
yes.
Then yeah, of course it can't take off.
Yes.
But I don't believe that the plane actually ends up staying in place. It doesn't matter because in my head, the plane is a V-22 Osprey and it could stay in place or it's a Harrier or whatever. It could stay in place and still take off.
I had Airwolf in my head. Was that wrong?
No, that's always right, basically.
That's, yeah.
No, it's an F-35, despite having vertical takeoff capability, it cannot take off because it's an F-35.
It doesn't take off because of government funding problems. It never leaves. Yeah.
So you're just saying that the engine power would overcome whatever speed the treadmill would, and then the plane would thereby move and then lift off.
Yeah, I'm saying that at the point where the plane, like...
Okay, but first of all, we've pretended that there's an airfield-sized treadmill.
How awesome would that be?
Yes.
We would use that. We would use that for other things, though, right? Like, imagine the kind of shit you could do on that.
Oh yeah, man!
And it can move at infinite speed.
It would be the Flash's time travel device. Yeah, right?
Is that thing called the Celestial?
Cosmic treadmill.
Cosmic. Thank you.
God damn it! Yeah. Thank you, Judd.
So imagine if we had a football field that was this treadmill,
and we had cars.
And there are little spots, little bonus spots on the field. And if the players hit the bonus spots, then the treadmill moves in various directions. So now we've got – never mind. This is like – I'm trying to turn football into NBA Jam.
NBA Jam.
Boom, shakalaka.
Yeah, you can actually kick a field goal from the opposing goal line and get 7 points for it, and then you get to make an extra point attempt. But that extra point attempt has to come from midfield, and if you miss it by too much, you lose 4 points.
Wait, if you could arbitrarily move the treadmill in any direction, could you take a 300-yard touchdown if your name was Bo Jackson?
I'd like to see if any of those linemen could catch Bo Jackson.
Bo knows.
We have just gone in a very large circle here, which makes sense given
just
that
like
we're
Bojack,
talking about a treadmill.
Just like Bojack.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the most scientific and mystical, if you count Dungeons and Dragons and Lord of the Rings, episode of Full of Sound and Fury podcast ever. I've been Cyrus Mordozavi. I'd like to thank Ariel Rodriguez of Austin, Texas.
Thank you for having me on.
I'd like to thank Riyad Wabi, currently of Iowa, for that incredible physics lesson.
I'm sorry about the airplane treadmill. I ruined everything.
I'd like to thank Keyshawn Xavier, also of Austin, Texas.
Where are my pants?
You can listen to this episode and previous episodes of Full of Sound and Fury podcast at fullofsoundandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes. Questions and comments can be left at my main social media page, riseagainproductions.tumblr.com. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2015.
Bellana Torres forever!